Everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody today, and I know we're going to receive a blessing as we worship. Please refer to your bulletin for the announcements. I'll scan them, but try not to be too long with them. First of all, please note the poinsettia honor and memorials thus far. And on the flip side of that page, we'll note them this morning, but a couple of sympathies to our church family. Looking at our announcements this morning, first an announcement not in your bulletin. We will be receiving an offering as you may feel led for the Kentucky storms. Just please make your check out to the church and mark storms on there. I will make a brief announcement this morning that I've never made before, but it is relevant. Some United Methodist Committee on Relief, the acronym is UMCOR. Every time there is a disaster anywhere in the world, continental United States, anywhere in the world, anytime there's a natural disaster, UMCOR establishes what's called an advanced special number, which means when a natural disaster happens, a fund is set up for that natural disaster. So if there's a disaster sometime somewhere and we don't say anything here in the church, but you want to give to that, just write your check to the church, mark that particular disaster on your memo section, and there'll be an advance special number that the church can look up and be sure that it gets there. What I like about UMCOR is that on these advance specials, we know that 100% of the donation goes to the effort. So if there's a natural disaster in the future and we don't happen to say anything, but you wish to contribute to that relief, just write your check accordingly or ask me how to do it. And we'll definitely get it to where it goes. Because although we are not in the news as much as some other organizations, wherever there's a disaster, the United Methodist Committee on Relief is on the ground and is there for the long term. So I just want to kind of educate you on that this morning. Please note our Christmas services for this week, actually. Our Christmas Eve service will be at 6 o'clock. And it will be 45 minutes to an hour max. But our Christmas Eve service will be at 6 o'clock. The next two Sundays, being Sundays right directly after holidays, will be one service at 10 o'clock. It will be the Sunday school class's discretion whether or not Sunday school meets on that day. We'll not have assembly, but if the Sunday school classes want to meet, that will be at your discretion, and at what time will be to your discretion. You're aware of the Christmas cards and the process, but please note you may have some Christmas cards back there. So please also check the box to see if you have any Christmas cards. Just a reminder again, as far as financial records and your church donations, the final deposit will be made Tuesday morning, December 28th for the 2021 year. Also, we'll be leading another Bible study beginning January 6th. It will be a 9-week study on the book of James. The way these classes are set up, each class can stand on its own. So, you know, feel free to come anytime. But if you'd like to be guaranteed to have a study book, please follow the directions in that announcement. It's also time for COTS volunteers again. Please follow those accordingly. And I believe there's still enough poinsettias open that if you would like to have one for an honor or memory of a loved one, there are still some available. Are there announcements that should be made this morning that were not made? If not, it's a joy that the Lord calls us together to come and worship. So let us come now and worship His most holy name. Gracious and loving Lord, we know that indeed You are with us. We do not have to ask You to come into our midst, but You invited us into Yours. So as we gather in this special time of worship, we do pray that our hearts and our minds are open in such a way that You receive our thanksgiving and praise, and we receive Your messages to us in whatever manner You may send them. As we proceed, we do pray that this service will be pleasing to Your sight and hearing, and that it will strengthen Your people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our hymn of praise is "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." Let's stand as we sing.
light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that we no more may die, born to raise us from the earth, born to give us second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Today is the fourth Sunday in Advent. We relight the candle of hope, telling us that Jesus is the hope of the world. The candle of peace reminds us that peace is found in Jesus. The candle of joy represents all the joy and blessings that have been ours through Christ Jesus. And now we light the candle of love. Jesus demonstrated self-giving love throughout his ministry. He commands for us to love one another. Advent is a time to love, as God loved us by giving his most precious gift. Matthew 1:23, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love is not conditional or self-centered. It reaches out and draws others in. This candle reminds us to love one another as God has always loved us. Let us pray. Teach us to love, O Lord. May we always remember to put you first, so that we may know your love and show it in our own lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
And as we go to prayer this morning and sharing our joys and concerns, as you are most likely aware by this time, we've had two families in our church have lost loved ones this week. Susan Shepherd's sister passed away this week, passed away Tuesday night. And we remember her and their family. And we remember Becky Casey, her son William, who lived in Boston, passed away suddenly on December 10th, and they conducted his service yesterday. So remember these two families as they are suffering grief, and as any of you who have ever been there, you know that this time of, to lose someone this time of year accentuates that grief. So remember them in a special way. Our family does have a praise this morning. Many of you will remember we took Zach off of the prayer list several months ago, and because praise the Lord, he had improved so much. Kind of an update and a particular praise. Zach has been working full time for several months now. He is, for those who do not know yet, he is the fleet mechanic for Jordan Air Condition in Athens. And so if you see a vehicle from Jordan Air driving around, Zach's keeping that thing on the road. So we're praising the Lord, because when this occurred three years ago, we did not know if Zach would even ever work again, period, much less in his field. And the Lord has blessed us in that he's doing both. And then yesterday, for the first time since all of this happened, he had to take some tests that are, they're high pressure tests, if you've ever been there. They're ASEs, some certifications that it helps mechanics to have. And so he had to take some recertification tests yesterday, and he passed both of them. And so we're praising the Lord that Zach's been able to do these things and that he's been able to do them successfully. So you all have been very, very supportive in your prayers and in keeping up with how Zach's been doing. And we just want to thank you, and we just want to offer that praise this morning. Are there joys or concerns that we would voice this morning that we're not? If not, let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, just a few more days and we celebrate Christmas. Just a few more days and we celebrate that the long-awaited Messiah was born. Just a few more days and we celebrate that you revealed yourself to us through Jesus Christ. And not only did you reveal yourself to us, but you, through Jesus, suffered the atonement for our sins and rose from the grave to defeat those sins and even death itself. And so, gracious Lord, we just thank you for this time of gathering with the church, and we will do so again Christmas Eve. That amid the festivities that we so love and we so enjoy, and we praise you for allowing us to be a part of those, we take time out to focus upon that which is the reason for our celebration. And so we just want to praise you and thank you this morning. And Lord, because of Christmas and then Easter to come 33 years later, we are able to gather this morning. We are able to celebrate that as we walk this earth, we know that you are with us, that every day we wake up, we truly can rejoice in the day that you have made. And when our time on this earth is complete, we anticipate being in your full, unhindered, glorious presence that we cannot even imagine. So Lord, we just want to praise you and we want to thank you this morning. And though we are at a loss of words or expression of what that means, of what is welling up in our hearts, we pray that as your heart communes with our heart, you experience our thanksgiving and praise, our adoration for who you are and what you have done for us. We thank you that as we are gathered in this place this morning, that once again we are able to be here in the freedom of this place, that we live in a country where we can decide to come to church, to not come to church, to choose the congregation that we feel enables us to worship and to serve you in our best way. We thank you for that freedom, but we know that that freedom is not guaranteed, that freedom is not cheap. And ours is even a privilege because so much of the world has no idea what that is like. And so, Lord, this morning we want to make sure that we remember to thank you for that freedom and that we always use that freedom to serve you. And we just want to remember this morning those who protect that freedom. There are those, even as we worship in the peacefulness of this place, there are those that are either in harm's way or just a communicational way. They serve in military roles and civilian roles. And Lord, we pray that you protect those who protect us, that your healing be upon the wounded, and that your peace be upon the families whose loved one made that ultimate sacrifice. And Lord, you have heard our prayer list this morning. We thank you for the praises that we are able to offer. We thank you that you are with each and every one. And we just pray your healing touch upon those who are physically ill, that you might bring physical healing to them. For those who grieve this morning, we pray your peace that passes all understanding to rest upon them. And Lord, we do thank you for those who gather here at Walker United Methodist Church. We thank you that we're able to fellowship, to serve, and to worship in this place. May your blessing be upon us, and as you have blessed us in so many ways, may we be a blessing to this community and even the world. And Lord, when we leave these grounds, remind us that you go with us. Lead, guide, and direct our every thought, word, and deed. And bring us back that we will worship you and encourage one another. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our hymn of preparation is, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Let's stand as we sing.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, you have blessed us beyond all measure. You have given us yourself in Jesus Christ. And so your people bring back to you now a portion of the financial gifts that you have lavished upon us, attempting to participate in your ministry through them. So Lord, we pray that your blessings will continue upon each gift and each giver, and that you will guide us as a congregation, that every penny that has been entrusted is used according to your will, furthering your kingdom in this community and throughout the world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Our scripture lesson this morning is a familiar one to you. It's Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The Christmas story is extraordinary. One can only imagine what it was like to be Mary and Joseph. What must it have been like to be Mary and Joseph experiencing the birth of God revealed in the flesh, and to realize that they had been entrusted with the privilege and the awesome responsibility of being the earthly parents of Jesus? Well, one can only imagine what it must have been like to be the shepherds, watching, protecting their flock at night. That's the most dangerous time for a shepherd. And to be suddenly greeted by the angel and then informed of the miraculous birth. Then add to that amazement, the amazement of the event, they were serenaded by the choir of angels proclaiming Messiah's birth. One can only imagine what it was like to participate in the extraordinary events of God's visitation through the birth of Jesus Christ. And to add to that, the amazement of that night, for me, are the very ordinary events through which the extraordinary visit of God took place. Matthew's account reminds us that Jesus is born in Bethlehem to fulfill Scripture. But now as we look at the Christmas story, now this is going to sound kind of odd, but stay with me. Mary and Joseph weren't wrapped up in prophecy. Mary and Joseph weren't wrapped up and said, okay, now it's getting close, so we better hop a donkey and make way over to Bethlehem so we can fulfill the prophecy of the Scripture. No, that's not what happened. Yes, we have no doubt that events were orchestrated so that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which fulfills prophecy. But Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem strictly for business. The government required a census to be taken, and the method was the man went to his hometown and registered. Joseph's town of family origin was Bethlehem, so that's where he had to go. And while Mary and Joseph are there on business, required by the government, Mary says, Joseph, it's time. And Jesus was born. According to Matthew, Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem in order to fulfill prophecy concerning the Messiah. The method or the avenue of being in Bethlehem was simply the completion of a legal obligation that everyone else had to do. Through the completion of a very ordinary task, the extraordinary scripture-fulfilling act of God took place. Meanwhile, it was the time of the year for shepherds and their sheep to live in the fields. Another very practical aspect. You see, the fields where they were living were cultivated fields. That meant they raised crops in those fields. But certain times of the year, after the crops had been harvested, but before the new planting took place, shepherds and the sheep lived in the fields. Now, this was very practical. The reason it was very practical is the fodder and so forth, the stuff that was left was good grazing material. And you know what happens after one eats, do we not? Deposits have to be made, shall we say? And those deposits fertilize the fields. Very practical reason the shepherds were in the fields. They were in the fields allowing the sheep to eat. They were, and the natural biological processes were fertilizing the fields. And of course, at night, the shepherds have to watch the shepherds have to watch the sheep and protect them from predators. So the shepherds that are working the night shift, they take turns working the night shift, protecting the sheep. And who knows how many times they had done this before. And while doing an ordinary night's work, they experienced the extraordinary appearance of the angel of the Lord with the message of the birth of a Messiah. And then they are serenaded by the appearance of the angel choir. It was in and through very ordinary experiences of very ordinary people that the extraordinary act of God took place. Perhaps as we are entering the final days before Christmas and then quickly approaching the new year, God may be wanting to visit us at Walker. God may be wanting to visit you individually in an extraordinary way. I'm convinced that though the Lord is present with us every single step and breath of life through the Holy Spirit, that there are still times when God visits us in extraordinary ways, only our hearts are not always in a place to receive and recognize it. Because, let's face it, it's easy to get so wrapped up in life schedules and life's obligations that God can visit and we never see. It's so easy to get wrapped up in life's concerns, particularly when we're hit by surprise, that God can visit and we don't even see. Perhaps the greatest gift we might receive this Christmas is God's extraordinary visitation, and to have the heart to receive and recognize it. Therefore, I ask us this morning, what can we do to produce that visit? Nothing. Nothing. If we were to ask any of the characters of the Christmas story, I think they would say basically, I don't have a clue why God visited me. I think Mary would say something like, Joseph and I were in the middle of wedding plans when out of the blue this angel informs me, Angel Gabriel informs me that I'm to conceive and bear and raise the Son of God. I don't know why God chose me. I don't know why God visited me. But there was no doubt it was God. So I obeyed. I think Joseph might say something like, Man, this whole thing has been odd from the get-go. But God revealed to me that all of this was of Him. I was simply getting the house ready for Mary to move in and have the wedding when, boom! God hit me with this. I have no reason why God chose me for this role. But God did. And I obeyed. Imagine one of the shepherds might say something like, "This started out as no big deal. It was one more night on the night shift. Nothing special about it. Just watching and listening for sheep in distress or the breathing or walking of a lion, wolf, or bear. When out of nowhere, this angel appears telling us of the birth of this special baby that's the Savior. And then this choir of angels starts singing and lights up the darkness. Wow, what a night. If we had the opportunity to talk with the characters of the Christmas story, I believe they would tell us they never anticipated God's visitation. They would tell us they were just living their lives when God crashed through their ordinary lives, visiting them with extraordinary events that changed them forever. Through Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds. I say hope. None of them were persons of any clout in society whatsoever. Joseph was a blue-collar construction worker. Mary was a poor girl. The shepherds were even lower on the totem pole because the shepherds were dirty, so there was no way they could stay ceremoniously clean. They were dirty and often looked down upon by many in society. Now, we are told that Mary and Joseph were persons of good character, but we don't know anything about the shepherd's character. The point is, none of these persons held any social standing. It was not their position, it was not their status that brought about God's visitation. It was their openness and their availability to receive it. Are our hearts open to God's visitation? And are our hearts open to God's visitation so that if called upon, we will obediently act upon it? Through Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds, I indeed see hope. Because I believe most of us in this room would view ourselves as everyday folks. I don't perceive that any of us in this room see ourselves as being particularly spiritual, particularly over someone else. Most of us would not likely view ourselves as persons of major influence. I believe most of us would probably say or feel something like, now I'm putting my own stuff in here, but if you agree with me, I got enough baggage of my own. I can't be judging anybody else. I'm just trying to keep my own act together. I'm sure if God is going to make an extraordinary appearance, it's going to be through one of those spiritual giants of our day, whoever they are. I don't have COVID. I just got strangled on a cough drop. I almost said, let's not sell ourselves short. But if I said that, that's still saying that we can do something to produce God's work in us. The more accurate statement, I believe, is, don't sell God short. Think about just two aspects of the Christmas story. If God created a baby in the womb of a virgin, why can't God visit us in an extraordinary way and do the miraculous through us? The other is, if God could convince a man that his fiance was pregnant by the creation of the Holy Spirit, can God not find a way to communicate with us? Now, if there is a condition that we might have some influence upon, it would be the faith that we have that God does still work through ordinary people. That God still works through ordinary people to accomplish the extraordinary and the miraculous. That means you and me. Let us not miss the extraordinary visit of God because our lack of faith prohibited God speaking to us and working through us. And there's one more crucial point. Remember the conclusion of the Christmas story in Luke? Speaking of the shepherds. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. You know, the world today, and I believe it's always been this way. I don't think ours is unique. But it's the one we live in. Our world today is filled with anxiety. It's filled with fear. It's filled with foreboding. I mean, again, like I think I mentioned week before last, while eating breakfast this morning, I did my phone thing and I was looking down the headlines, and then I went over to one of the news websites and I was looking through their headlines. They were telling me why I got to be scared to death. They were telling me why I got to be afraid. They were telling me why I'm going to die. They were telling me, you just imagine it. They were telling me all of these things of why. And so many folks, they read that stuff and they take it in and they're filled with gloom. They're filled with doom. But folks, Christmas reminds us that we possess amazingly good news of great joy that God means for everybody. In the midst of the challenges that are real, in the midst of the heartaches that are real that come with life, we do experience hope, peace, joy, and love. So as did the shepherds, let us go and tell everyone what we have seen and heard. Yes, I know all of this junk that if you can get away with it in the office or in the grocery store, I would encourage you to do it. Yeah, I know these challenges are real. I know these heartaches are real. I know all of this stuff is real. But I know somebody that's more real. I know all of this stuff is real. And I know some bad things are happening. But I know somebody who's bigger. And I know it's a real possibility that I might not survive what may happen next. But guess what? I know that if I'm taken out, I know where I'm going. Y'all, as all people, as we're looking toward Christmas, we don't need to join the gloom and doomers. We got something that's better, and we need to leave this place, and we need to tell them of the good news, of the great joy that we have experienced that God means for everybody. And you know how God does that? He doesn't send the fleet of angels. He doesn't part the sky. He takes ordinary people in the process of their ordinary lives to tell of the extraordinary things that God has done and encourages us to be open for the next extraordinary visit of God. So let us possess the faith that God is not done yet, and that God will use ordinary persons like you and me in our everyday experiences to reveal God's self and to perform the miraculous. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, thank you so much that you didn't come through the people that we would have expected the Messiah to come through. Thank you that you didn't come through the processes that we would have expected the Messiah to come through. But you used ordinary people through the ordinary events of their lives to announce the extraordinary good news of God. So Lord, may our hearts be open. May we be open to experience your extraordinary visit to us. It may be an individual visit that we need to experience. May we also be open that you may use us to proclaim the extraordinary good news. That in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the gloom, in the midst of the doom, in the midst of the fear, we have good news of great joy. Lord, may that be our experience this season. And then as the shepherds, may we leave this room to tell everyone we know of the good news of great joy that is for all people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our final hymn is "There's a Song in the Air." Let's stand as we sing.